Stuart Nash has been sacked from all of his ministerial portfolios following a breach of cabinet rules. Mr. Nash was already on a final warning before a Stuff Media report last night revealed he'd emailed details of cabinet discussions to two businessmen who were also his donors in 2020. Mr. Nash emailed business associates in 2020 when the government was negotiating a commercial rent relief package. He said he had lost an argument at the cabinet table and disclosed his colleagues' views. The Prime Minister last night condemned Mr. Nash's actions.
This is a clear breach of cabinet's collective responsibility and cabinet confidentiality. Stuart Nash has fundamentally breached my trust and the trust of his cabinet colleagues. His conduct is inexcusable.
Now, Chris Hipkins said Stuart Nash's actions raised a perception of influence that cannot be allowed to stand, and he had no choice but to sack him.
In recent weeks, I've sought and been given assurances from Stuart that there were no other instances or allegations of misconduct that I should be aware of. While Stuart was on a final warning, I want to be clear that this incident alone would have resulted in his dismissal in its own right. I consider the matter to be a very serious one.
Well, our political editor Jane Patterson joins us now. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Corey.
As we heard there from the Prime Minister, this alone was so serious it would have cost him his job. Just let's go through a little bit what exactly the rules are that he has broken in this instance.
So in Cabinet, you have obviously a lot of thorny issues that Cabinet ministers have to discuss. So they get round the Cabinet table. That's the point that if you have any opposition, if you want to raise arguments, if you want to raise alternative proposals, you debate it out, you discuss it. Now, once that decision has been accepted or adopted by the Cabinet, that's it. It's called Cabinet collective responsibility kicks in. And that means no matter how strongly you feel about that decision, you have to go out and back it
publicly. That is a very important principle in terms of our system.
Important core principle in terms of stability of the government, decision making, all of those sorts of things. So that's number one. Confidentiality is the second one. You don't leak cabinet discussions and specifics like the names of your cabinet colleagues who you were talking about, and basically giving outsiders, people also interested in this policy change, details of what had gone on and the positions of various ones. So confidentiality. And as Chris Hipkins alluded to yesterday, there were probably a number of other breaches when you look at acting professionally, acting ethically. This is such an egregious breach. I really struggle to remember a breach of cabinet manual so serious as this one.
Now, let's remember Stuart Nash was on a final warning. Did he... The Prime Minister had asked him whether there were any other skeletons in the closet that he needed to come out with at that point. Did he just not think about this? Why didn't he see that this was a breach? I mean, he's an experienced cabinet minister.
And Stuart Nash has gone to ground. He has not been talking, so we're not sure about the motivation. But he was on final notice. In fact, I'd say he'd stretched the limits of Chris Hipkins in terms of tolerance over a number of incidents that came out through the media, and then one Stuart Nash admitted to the Prime Minister himself. This was another media investigation by Stuff that came out late last night. So the Prime Minister had absolutely no choice. That was clear. Interestingly, he said last night too that Stuart Nash didn't put up a fight. He offered his resignation, but Chris Hipkins would not accept it. He said he would dismiss him. So, you know, you have situations where ministers can go out and they can say, I resigned. No, he was sacked in this one. And Chris Hipkins was obviously, he said himself, he was gutted. This is a long-term colleague of Chris Hipkins. They both came into Parliament together in 2008. They've been through a lot together, but it was black and white.
Christopher Luxon has likened this to insider trading. Is that a reasonable sort of comparison?
It's certainly pushing the boundaries in terms of like the cabinet expectations on a minister. Insider trading is, I suppose, more normally in a business kind of sense. So it's more.
There was no financial gain.
There was no financial gain and no personal gain. So that's the difference.
For Stuart Nash.
That's the difference. So, yes, it was completely and utterly inappropriate for him to be having this kind of conversation, email conversation with outsiders. And then that ramps up up even more because they were donors to his campaign. So whichever way you turn it, it was just, as I said, an egregious breach.
Now, the Prime Minister last night, too, was quick to point it out that the businessmen involved, they'd done nothing wrong.
Yes.
And that they were getting the information after the event, right? The Cabinet had made the decision.
That's right. That's right. But it doesn't alleviate the breach. It alleviates, I suppose, the potential for the Cabinet discussions to have been influenced if there was a, you know, if Stuart Nash had brought back some response from them into the Cabinet table. So that limits that. But actually, the breach itself on principle doesn't make any difference too.
There is a perception issue here that is a big problem too. And is there going to have to be a probe, a look back at other decisions and arguments and things to restore some confidence that there haven't been other instances where Stuart Nash has felt the need to share?
Yes, I absolutely think this needs further investigation. You've got a Cabinet Minister now. This is 3 years ago. His other interactions in terms of the police and immigration that he'd already been in hot water show a pattern of behaviour. It shows he is fast and loose with the rules. He has held senior and significant portfolios. And as I said, this one was from 2020. So what's happened in the interim, what's happened in the 3 years, in terms of his conduct as a Cabinet Minister. Now, he's gone, so it's not about him. It's actually about the confidence in the government in terms of having a minister. What else had he done? Now, it's a difficult exercise because what boundaries do you put around it? I mean, all of his communications, it's a big field if you look at it. However, I do think there's a matter of public confidence here. Chris Hipkins was asked about it yesterday. He said it's not his job to investigate. He has done his job by removing Stuart Nash. He did make a comment about others do have the remit. So we've got the Auditor General and organisations like that, but that is something that Mr Hipkins will have to make a decision on. If he does, it could open a whole can of worms, or he could just say, no, it's done. And then, of course, we have the situation of Stuart Nash now, not a minister. He did text us last night saying that he was not going to quit his Napier seat and force a by-election. National's Christopher Luxon came out really fired up last night. He wanted him gone last night from Parliament. However, in a couple of weeks' time, if there was a resignation from that seat, he wouldn't actually have to have a by-election because of the general election. And Jacinda Ardern's in that situation too. So, you know, it seems a bit ridiculous for him, for calls for him now to step down or vacate that seat.
Yes. That said, his future in the Labour Party, is that up in the air?
I think that's pretty much over. Chris Hipkins said last night that he had asked Stuart Nash to reflect on his future with the party, and that's basically like, go away, have a think about not coming back, and come back and tell me when you're ready to tell me that, because there is just so much trust destroyed, I think, within the Cabinet and his really close senior colleagues in Labour. I find it very difficult.
I mean, just finally, Joan, this is destabilising for any government to lose a minister. You know, in an election year, it's distracting, it's putting Chris Hipkins in difficult situations. This is not where the government wants to be.
No, it is not. The only thing I would say was it dealt with very swiftly. There was no mucking around yesterday.
Well,
it was probably helped by the fact that it was such an egregious breach. The Prime Minister
didn't
have any...
He might be wishing he had done it earlier with the other breaches.
Right. That's right. And I suppose he now has to... The issue for Chris Hipkins are these calls for an inquiry, how he handles them. Stuart Nash was dealt with pretty swiftly, pretty brutally, but the political risk now will be in defending the way that Cabinet has been run, defending the integrity of Cabinet ministers, and proving that actually there haven't been any other conduct that would compromise that.
Jane Patterson, thank you very much for that analysis. That was our political editor, Jane Patterson.